Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In 2021, American workers made their voices heard. Many said, "I quit." A few unionized, and some went on strike, including the people who make Oreos. Here's Keith Bragg, a union president at Nabisco, in August.
We're on strike today at Richmond, Virginia, at the Mondelez Nabisco plant. And the reason we're on strike is because the company wants to change everything and take everything away from us that we have earned over the years.
Let's talk about the year in labor relations in this turbulent and uncertain 2021 with Harley Shaken, labor economist at the University of California, Berkeley. Harley, it's good to talk to you again.
Very nice to be here.
Now, we heard a lot of talk about the American worker this year. The essential worker, the striking worker, a lot of people quitting. Why were so many of us talking so much about labor issues in 2021?
Well, against a backdrop of all the disruption of COVID-19 and deadlock in Washington, this has been a very significant year for labor. Workers do have increased leverage, and in unionized settings, they've been demonstrating that.
Well, one of the big parts of this has been leverage because of this so-called great resignation, right? So many workers have left the workforce. So as far as this leverage, workers in demand, is this a short-term kind of COVID thing, or is there something longer-term going on here?
No, I think we'll see workers in demand even as COVID eases up. In part, there have been some profound transitions in the economy that won't go back to where they were before. For example, so many more people ordering things online from retailers like Amazon. Now, that means that there are losses elsewhere in the economy, but it does create a new demand, and that tightness gives workers more leverage. Also, the strikes that have taken place have recorded some major union victories. Those haven't really been realized, I mean, with workers more generally understanding how much was gained here. But the reality of what happened at John Deere, what happened at some of the other high-profile strikes like Nabisco or Kellogg, they result in real gains.
All right, let me ask you about unionizing efforts in 2021. A lot of us paid attention to Starbucks workers in New York State succeeding in unionizing, a small number of video game workers as well. Of course, the unionizing vote failed at Amazon, at the Amazon warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, but there's more drama to come there. Where did you pay attention to unionizing efforts this past year?
Well, those were all very important. It was a bitter defeat for unions at Amazon. At Starbucks, it was a bit different. It was on a far smaller scale, but the importance of it is very clear. And the best indicator of that importance is the huge effort that Starbucks made at a national level, sending to Buffalo key executives and putting a lot of resources into defeating it. It wasn't a clear-cut win. They won in one store, they lost in a second, and they more or less tied in the third. Likely that will go as a union win. But it did indicate that organizing is in the cards. Where there has been a major win is among graduate students. Hmm. The University of California, most recently, 17,000 graduate researchers voted to join the United Auto Workers. So there have been gains in this area that are fairly significant.
Harley Shaken, what did we learn this past year about employers and management strategy? You've talked about what Starbucks did. We're still watching the Amazon warehouse ongoing drama, I guess, going forward. You know, what big insights did we glean about the management side this year?
We've seen that managements are very determined to avoid unionization and are willing to put significant resources into it. But unionization in a democratic society is a fundamental democratic right. So there's more at stake here than just if workers in a given workplace or industry want a union. And what we've seen with very strong management efforts to avoid that this year is the urgency of broader legislative change.
So when you step back, you've been watching these questions for many years. And when you step back and you look at the situation with unionizing efforts, with strikes, with legislation, the percentage of Americans who are part of unions, where is the American worker right now? Do you see, I mean, the word movement is trotted out very often. Do you see a movement forming?
I do. I see this as a bright moment, but not a definitive moment. That is, we can't say there's something that happened this year that is going to take us into a far more unionized environment immediately. What is positive is recent polls have shown that unions are at record or near record support. A Gallup poll in August indicated 68% of Americans view unions positively. How do we compare that with 11% actually being in unions? It indicates there's something wrong with the structure of a worker's ability to vote a union in. So you've got that dimension of it that's very important. We've seen workers in unions win impressive gains, and that won't be lost ultimately on workers elsewhere. In the current environment where inflation has emerged, unions at places like John Deere have won cost of living adjustments, which seek to take the real burn out of inflation. That's something many non-union workers may want to see. Mm-hmm. So there's reason to be optimistic, but there's also a lot of resources and a lot of pressure and a stacked deck that unions and workers will face when they do try to organize.
Yeah, and as you say, 11% right now of American workers are members of a union, which is significantly down from, say, a generation ago. Finally, can I ask you a less quantifiable question? This year in COVID, we really talked about the essential American worker, you know, framing in new ways the people who work in retail, in healthcare, grocery workers, people who produce our meat. How significant is that?
I think it's very significant. Workers, in so many ways, have become invisible in our culture. You rarely see films about workers' lives.
Yeah.
So they were invisible, and almost overnight, and in a very deserved, long overdue way, they became heroes, given what ordinary workers did to combat COVID or to continue doing essential jobs, whether they're working in a grocery store, whether they're driving buses or streetcars, whether they're in hospitals. All of this came to our attention and we celebrated workers. But then the key word here is and. And then what? Wages didn't go up. The celebration was wonderful. The recognition was nice, but most workers did not see any difference in their daily work life. There were major shifts to working at home for some, but so many more were not able to work at home. And you had this dichotomy which grated on so many. Heroes by day, but when you went to the bank with your paycheck, there was no demonstration of that.
Harley Shaken, labor economist at the University of California, Berkeley. Professor, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.